Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram, Hashtag Kangaroos podcast, TikTok, Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I'm joined by AFLW regular Claire Cozzie to review our win against the Port Adelaide Power yesterday by 63 points. A lot to like. Of course, there's a lot to like when you win by 63 points. Jazz Garner, Ash Riddell, are they stealing votes off each other at the moment? They're both putting in brilliant years. Hard to separate the two. It's going to be an interesting best and fairest night. So looking forward to them continuing their form over the next 2 weeks. Obviously, are we well prepared for the next 2 weeks? Two big games coming up. Any concerns? There were a few concerns, but a lot to go through, so let's not waste any more time. Bring on Claire Cozzie to talk about it.
Claire Cozzie, we are back once again. Another week and another comprehensive win by the girls. 63-point winners and a lot to like. How did you see the game?
Yeah, swirly conditions at Arden Street. Ideal conditions and record-breaking in the sense that highest score that we're able to achieve at Arden Street. Jazzy Garner just goes on fourth and gets the most metres gained. I think she got 789. Riddell had a phenomenal 50-game appearance with the 35 disposals, 2 goals with arguably, I don't know whether you saw, Dean, I don't know whether you're watching live, you did tell me you were at a mini-golf birthday. so I think you missed it. But if North fans didn't get to see it live, then I'd implore them to watch some of the goals from the forward pocket of Arden Street, because you've just got a gold mine of talent. Like, first Ash Riddell kind of steps aside a player, runs and makes the angle quite harder than what it could be, and is able to cap off an amazing passage of play with a goal. And then Talia Randall, a couple of minutes later, says, "Hold my beer, I've just kicked a party trick goal." And then if you didn't think it could get better than that, Elise O'Loughlin decides, I think, in the third or fourth quarter that, you know, she wants to join in. She doesn't want to miss out either. So she kicks it and a wonderful snap from the boundary as well. So it was a really complete performance. I have to say I want to probably put a little bit more time in, because I'm really good at pumping up Riddell and Garner. But I think Bruton had more of her important games of the year. I think she did really well. I think she got 26 disposals and was able to capitalise the goal as well. So she did really well. I thought Eric O'Shea, Tess Craven really stood up, even Eliza Shannon in key moments, because Port Adelaide were pretty keen on shutting down Emma Carney and her running carry, and they were able to capitalise on a couple little mistakes that we made. So it really kind of emphasised how much we needed to use different sources throughout the halfback, and I was really happy with the halfback's performances going, you know, post halftime. Really happy with my girl Amy Smith. Love her. She was able to capitalise on a really nice goal, so I really like watching her sort of perform. Same with Taylor Gatt. Taylor Gatt got her first goal, and it was really nice to see. I was on the Arden Street Hill at the time, and the crowd erupted, but also the bench got straight to her as well, which is really, really nice, and celebrated with her. And, you know, even Elise O'Loughlin, outstanding with her 17 disposals and 3 goals as well. So just a really, really complete performance from my perspective. I think, you know, when Port Adelaide did get their first goal, I was walking into the ground and I saw, you know, 6-0, and I was like, oh, that's a quick first goal from North. But I didn't actually end up seeing it was a Port Adelaide goal in the end. So I think Port Adelaide, like a lot of those teams, were able to put a bit of pressure on us in the first stages of the game and try to work out their way through passages and apply the pressure. But fatigue sets in and strategies kind of collapse. So a real highlight for me was watching Jazzy Garner line up with Erin Phillips in the middle of Arden Street, because I think, like you said, it's a bit of a passing of the baton between one champion to another. And, it was really, if you look at the coaches' votes, you can see that And I said this in a tweet. I think Ashradale stealing might steal the AFLW best and fairest off her best mate Jazzy here, because she, that kind of duo work that they're doing together has been just amazing. So she's kind of grown. And it just, yeah, it was a really, really complete performance and fantastic to watch. So it kind of just builds into the intensity of next week's fixture. But yeah, how did you see it? Were you able to watch the highlights or did you watch the full replay?
Yeah, I got home probably 10, 15 minutes into the first quarter. So, and I've rewatched the first quarter. Yeah, a slow start, which we'll talk about a little bit in a minute. But the midfield, once again, Riddell and Garner just dominated around the ground. I mean, they both, like you said, they're both out to win each other most weeks. Yeah, 39 touches, 35 touches respectively. Best and fairest night might be an interesting night between those two.
Yeah. I can imagine. I'll tell you what, they'll be, if they're sitting next to each other, it kind of reminds me of the whole Petrarca and Viney thing that happened in the men's, is they might end up stealing from each other quite a bit. But yeah, go on, sorry.
No, all good. The back line's holding up really well again. Yeah. The forward lines certainly were very efficient as well at 51% this week. Our best for the season by far. I think our next best was 42% against Carlton. Yeah, good spread of goals as well from a number of girls. 9 different goal kickers. Like you said, including some freakish goals from that forward pocket. 3 to Elise O'Loughlin, 2 to Randall, and 2 to Riddell, with singles to Smith, Sheila, Puller, Garner, Bruton and Gatt. No injuries to report, which is good. And I'm really liking our form going into Melbourne this weekend, Claire.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Niamh Kelly was a nice debutante. I saw Erica O'Shea did a speech before her first game, which I thought was really special. Her time on ground was quite minimal. I know that she had a bit of a bite at the cherry in that last 20 seconds, I think, of the North game, where she had a look at the goals but quickly snapped. But no, look, I think it's it really, apart from, you're right, apart from maybe the slow start, but I'm feeling like it's not too much of an issue with North because they are able to play out the four quarters. Like, you kind of know that they will break free in the second half and the shackles will kind of come off. So, yeah, it was interesting to see how they absorbed and how they were able to adapt and change, because I think Port Adelaide went more from the ground level of what I saw. Port Adelaide were happy to risk more of a one-on-one as opposed to setting up a structure coming. So that was a really interesting take. And look, at times from Port Adelaide, it did get over the back and they were able to kind of capitalise and score. But like you said, it's a pretty stingy back line that we've got there. And I was ready to, I don't know whether you saw the replay of it, but Sarah Wright was just ripped off the line.
That was a shock.
I like literally dropped my drink on the heel and I sort of turned to my mate. I was like, look, you know, Sheila, I think, you know, maybe 20 minutes ago took a ripper mark off Abby Ballard, but that was more just strong contested work of the body. And Sheila, I reckon, has got about 10 centimetres on Abby Ballard, so was able to take a really good mark. But, yeah, I thought Righty, I mean, that's probably my Arden Street bias coming across, but I reckon Righty was fairly treated pretty unfairly. So it was an interesting choice by the umpire to let that go. I even saw the goal umpire kind of look towards each other just to suggest maybe we should call a holding or we should call something. But no, look, it's a very stingy back line. It's going to be really interesting to watch what that back line does to kind of, I guess, harness the firepower of D's. But yeah, just a really, really complete performance. I thought, I really liked Tess Craven this week. I think she did some really great things. She's just classy and composed with the ball. Jazz Garner just, you know, she gets better in front of our eyes. The only thing that I would be a little bit more, and if anything, I'm probably being a bit too picky, is that she had a couple of snaps on goal and she rushed herself. I think she had more composure and more time than she thought she had, and she rushed some snaps. But look, you can't be angry at someone who got 39 disposals and kicks and has that many clearances in inside 50s. But no, they're coming along. They're humming along nicely. They're doing all the right things. The preparation, I think, for the big two games they have back-to-back, D's and Adelaide. It's all the jigsaw pieces are in the right positions. They're fairly fit. It's just whether or not, I think we spoke about this offline, whether or not they go with Emma King and whether they go tall or whether they bring in a small or does Neve Kelly hold a spot. It's, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I've watched a bit of the Melbourne versus West Coast and they have a very similar, like they broke the shackles free in the second half and were able to score quite freely. A lot of run and carry, the same as we do. They're a big handball team. They're a big uncontested possession team. So it'll be interesting how those styles match up. But look, marinating and celebrating in what was a terrific day at Arden Street and some really amazing goals and amazing passages of play. So the team's ticking along really well. I think the strategy and the game plan is holding up, especially against maybe the lower teams. But it's all going to kind of become tested out, or it's all going to be found out pretty soon this week against D's, hey?
Oh, no, definitely. Tess Graven, I really liked the game. Yeah, good user of football behind the ball. I think that's a good point for it. You know, 14 possessions, 271 metres gained. I think Emma Carty had 19 possessions and 288 metres gained. And we certainly think that she played a good game. I mean, the back line is conceding on average 18 points a game in 7 games. It's pretty good. Like, Eliza Shannon has, you know, been probably one of the recruits of the year, really. I think she's had another very solid game with 6 intercepts and 15 touches. Erica O'Shea, 11 intercepts for the game. So I think they're going really well. I think one of the unsung heroes in the midfield is Mia King. I mean, her ability goes through 3 to 4 efforts around a contest just doesn't get talked enough. She had 27 touches, and you wouldn't know, based on, you know, like Jaycee Garner and, you know, Ash Riddell, and then Jenna Bruton hasn't lost a step since she's come back. Yeah, 26 touches, 8 clearances, 5 tackles. Yeah, so it's all coming along pretty well. And, yeah, Elisa Lachlan finally got some reward for effort with 3 goals, 17 touches and 3 tackles as well. Randall is really hitting the contest hard, which is and having a big impact. Traprody is playing a role. A lot to like there, and, you know, no injuries as well. I think we're certainly prepared for what's coming up on Saturday. So, and I don't know about you, but I actually like the way Port Adelaide played. Like, we've seen teams this year sort of just drop numbers behind the ball, you know, trying to, you know, get honourable losses almost against us, whereas they tried to play more of a one-on-one game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really like that Lauren Arnell, their coach, was happy to open up the game, you know, not necessarily park the bus, but, you know, and that's why I think that compared to other teams like a Carlton and a GWS, they were happy to concede the 87 points on the premise that they wanted to score themselves. Like, and they ended up, I think, kicking 24 points for the game. And they did miss a couple of sitters in front of goal. Like, I could easily see them kick maybe 5, max 6. I commended Port. I think they were overran and they were over, like, you know, we were more skillful side. But, yeah, it was good to see them be prepared to be more offensive. And I think that is the way forward when it comes to those, you know, those teams that are starting off, that they need to. It's not one thing to just be defensive and keep it to a low score. It's about creating scoring opportunities. And like, to have a decent, the thing is about Port Adelaide is that they have a decent forward line with Gemma Houghton in there, with Ashley Saints. Like, it's not a bad forward line if they get options, and Justine Mules, who came over from Adelaide Crows. So I think that they know they have the capability of scoring. It's just that their ball movement in and their lack of, I guess, having a look at the ball and not being in possession of it let them down a bit. But you're right with Tess Craven and Erica O'Shea. I think you're right with the intercept marks. And I think Erica O'Shea just keeps on getting better and better. She's just, you know, at the start we were probably a bit harsh on, you know, this woman who's come from Ireland and she can run and she can carry and she can definitely speed off. But I think what she's added to her craft is her defensive ability to replay and the awareness of to getting back and pressuring as well. She's been really, really good. Tess Craven, I think, was always going to be interesting because she definitely is a wing. She was drafted as a wing, but I think she's doing the Carney Kanga training down there and learning how to really read the play and set up play off halfback. So that's been really fascinating to watch. But you're right about Mia King. It's sort of you spend so much time thinking about Garner and Riddell, and it's really like the second duo, I think, that comes, you know, after them, those stars, is the Bruton and Mia King sort of combination of them and the hard gut running and work that they do to get around the ground. So it's pretty handy to have that much talent and that much depth in the mid group. And I think I genuinely believe, and again, it's quite biased, in terms of the depth of every midfield in AFLW, I think ours runs the deepest. I think Hatchard and Marinoff are probably the best duo together, work the best, but we've got the most depth when it comes to making sure we can cover rotations and things like that. Would that be fair to say, Dean? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, no, 100%. I've said it all year. Our midfield's the best, and that's the deepest, like you said. I mean, when Jetta Bruton was out, I mean, Mia King was starring. And, you know, I mean, she's probably in the best 20, 30 players in the competition. If she was at another club, she'd probably be the number one midfielder and almost probably a better player at another club. But because she's at North Melbourne, she's probably just happy to be in the background and not getting the limelight and so forth. But, very, very good footballer. I think she had her lowest tackles on the week. I think she only had three. But most weeks, she's been getting 8-plus tackles. I think she's got 8-plus tackles in every other game. So, it's full credit to her. She does put in a lot of the effort. I remember that Geelong game only a few weeks ago when we were down in that first half. Her second half was outstanding and got us over the line with her, you know, efforts around the contest and just a willingness to put herself in the contest and get the ball forward and just do, you know, two or three tackles in a row. Yeah, no, and she was fantastic. And
she's got an engine on her, doesn't she? Like, she's a repeat effort. And you can see that midfield group, Riddell, Bruton, Garner, Mia King, they're very, very fit people. Like, they'd be great runners and they're just constantly getting to stoppers and clearances and doing that bulk work. So, yeah, she is a gun. And I often kind of blink my eyes. And you're right, any other club, she'd probably be in the number one, if not two midfield. It's just that when you got Riddell kicking those sort of goals on an angle from the Arden Street boundary, it's hard not to for your eyes to light up and think we've got stars on her hand. It's incredible to me that she got overlooked in so many drafts before she came to North. It's insane. So it's a good story. It's a very deep midfield, and it's going to be deep. It's going to need to be deep for the next 2 weeks when we've got probably the hardest assignment back to back with the D's versus the Crows. I think the Crows is going to be a little harder, given it's an away game. I don't know, Crows don't drop too many games in their hometown. So I think there's a bit of pressure on North knowing, I mean, that I'd ideally like to go 2-from-2, but I think this is the best opportunity that they have in terms of preparation, night game, Icon Park, neutral territory against the reigning premiers. So it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've looked at the fixture, and if we're probably, like, let's say we did lose our next two, which is a possibility, of course, we'll probably finish below Essendon because they've got a very soft 3 weeks coming up, which would put them at 8-2, and we'll be 7-3, which is, sort of says something more about the competition and the fixture in there rather than actually how we're going. But we could lose by 2 points or 4 points over the next 2 weeks, and all of a sudden finish fourth or fifth or something like that, so which would be, unfair.
It reminds me of the Richmond, how Richmond had that season where they're pretty much, I think they, to be fair to them, they beat Brisbane down in, they seem to have the wood over Brisbane. Yeah. They beat Brisbane down in Punt Road. But apart from that, they played no one and they ended up going out in straight sets. So, I wouldn't mind playing Essendon in finals. So I would really, because we haven't played them yet. We've only played them in pre-season, which I think is such a missed opportunity with that rivalry between Windy Hill and Arden Street. I just think, should have capitalised on that. But I don't want to use the word kissed on the dick, but some clubs do get kissed on the dick when it comes to fixturing. And I think that, you look at Essendon, you look at Geelong. I think even Pies, Collingwood, have probably had more of an easier sort of fixture. I know Pies play Geelong this week. That'll be very interesting for both sides to see how they both go. So, yeah, there's a lot that will happen in the next couple of weeks that will dictate the final kind of, not only just four, but the final eight. I know that I'll be keen to watch the Adelaide versus Brisbane game, because I think if Adelaide knock off Brisbane and we still lose two of those games, I think we still potentially could be a lock. Also saying that we do win against Western Bulldogs in the last round, I think we don't lose our position in the top four. I could be wrong there. I could be wrong. But, yeah, it's heating up. It's heating up. It's going to be very fascinating. I do think there's a bit of a difference and a bit of drop-off when it comes to the top four and then the second, you know, the bottom bit of the top eight. I think that the talent there. I even watched the Cats versus, I mean, sorry, the Collingwood and Carlton game after the North game. And, yeah, look, the talent, the skill level is just a bit different, to say the least. But, look, here's hoping for a nice, calm, maybe like 23-degree night on Saturday and a packed Icon. I'm similar to you. I'm really angry that I'll not be able to get to this game. I've committed to a 30th that night, so yeah. I'll be probably watching my phone underneath the table or wherever we are. I'll definitely have it on. But what's your gut feel about Saturday? How are you feeling about the preparation, or how are you feeling about the lead up to the match?
Yeah, I think now's as good a time as any to play. I think there's a bit of a little bit of spice in this game too. I think it'll be heated quite early. Mm-hmm. My main concern is a slow start, Claire. I mean, we seem to have them every week this year. You know, I don't think we've started off a game. Maybe the St Kilda game, first game of the year, where I think Jase Garnick had gone the first 30 seconds and we went on from that. But every other game, we seem to start it really slow. Look, the Geelong game, even GWS, on the weekend, Port Adelaide had the first seven inside 50s for the game and kicked one goal too. Yeah. Not sure why this has happened, but we look flat and Port looks stronger in the contest early. We can't afford this again on Saturday night against the premiership favourites, because the game might be over as a contest in the first quarter if we're three or four goals down. You know, we've got to start off really well.
Yeah, the intensity needs not to, and that is the case. I agree with you. You could tell that they were still in warm-up mode for the first maybe 10 minutes of the first quarter, and then building in the second, and then came out to play in the half. But I don't think D's are going to give us that luxury. You know, I think that the intensity and the hunger at the contest needs to be from the centre-backs from the start of the time. So I agree with you. I do think, though, internally, they won't say it out loud, but I think internally they've had this particular game kind of circled for the season, and I think they know the preparation they need to do to get here. I think that they know the bitterness of the prelim, the interesting comments made by Daisy and made by Libby Birch around the club. So I think there's fire in the belly. I think that there is an understanding of the group that if they really do want to climb the mountain, then this is the best opportunity to do it on very neutral ground, with great preparation, with a healthy list, with the confidence of this list as well, knowing that it's in good nick. For me, it's about definitely trying to minimise the impact of, the running carries. Like Eden Zanka and Alyssa Bannon give me nightmares. The same way that I assume, though, that, like, you know, Kate Sheeler and Tali Randall give some teams some nightmares as well. So I think the difference with those two particular, like Randall can crash packs and do party tricks, and Sheila's very strong in the air, but Zanka and Bannon will kill you on the ground. They are very quick, very, very quick movers, and they've got a formidable midfield with Eliza West in there, Tyler Hanks, with Lily Mithen as well. So it's a good team that Melbourne have. They're the reigning premiers for a reason. Their captain, Kate Hoare, is a star as well. So the matchups will be key. And I'm a little bit worried. If there's anything that worries me, it's the pace. It's the pace of Melbourne. It's the running carry. and the fact that they can just burn you so quickly. Because we know with North, they are susceptible to going out the back. We know that a lot of, you know, the goals that have been scored against us have been quick little transition plays out the back. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned about that. And I'm wondering, I guess, from your point of view, do we drop at all? You know, it's quite a tall team. You've got Rennie, King, Shearlaw and Randall in that team. Is it worth considering losing a bit of height to keep a bit of pace? What are your thoughts on that, Dean?
I don't think they'll do it this time. It might be a case if we play them in finals. Like if we lost by 4 or 5 goals, then it might be something that, yeah, you mix up next time we play them. I think our strengths are our tools.
Okay. And
yeah, look, I mean, we might as well talk about Erin McKing. She's out of form.
Yep.
5 marks in the last 3 weeks and no goals. It is a concern at the moment. Drops an easy uncontested mark on the weekend as well. But you just got to back her in. Like, she's too good of a player. You can't leave her out. And there's no other tall girls that you can leave out of that team. I think our forward lines function pretty well. And I think the good thing is she's got herself in a position to take the marks. She's just hasn't plucked them. Sometimes you just lose a bit of form like that. It just happens for whatever reason. It's like, batting. Sometimes go for a month not making, 10 runs, and then all of a sudden you're making 50s and 60s and you can't stop making runs. So, I think she'll find form on the weekend. I don't think she'll get dropped. And, hopefully, she can pluck a couple of marks because, if we can go in a bit taller against their back line, and if we get the ball in fairly quick, like last weekend, I think we can do some damage. So, that's our strength in our team. I don't think you can drop her, and I don't think there's a quick player you could probably put into the team. I don't know if we've got that depth, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, I do know what you mean. I'm also probably being a bit harsh. I'm actually just checking now her stats and looking at how much time she had on ground because I didn't see a lot of her, but I'm just looking at her time on ground and maybe she didn't get a lot here. So Emma King, she was on 78%
ground
time. Yeah. So her and Rennie. So what was Rennie at? I'm just checking. Tali Randall at 71.
69.
Kim Rennie at 69. All right. So, it's a fascinating, I kept on calling her Neve Kelly, but it's Neve Martin. I apologise. I don't know why I got Kelly for some reason. I don't know. It must have been mixed up. Does Neve Martin do enough to keep, and keeping in mind, Neve Kelly had 66% of game time. So she and Ruby Tripodi had the least with 44%. But, do you keep Neve Martin in? Or does Ali Gavalis come back in? There's a lot to kind of consider when it turns. I'm happy to back Emma King in. I do. She's a quality player. There's no denying the fact that she is a quality tall. She can do a lot of great things. I think about the Fremantle game. She took some really clutch marks and did some nice things. And she can be that outlet for us when we're transitioning the ball from forward, from defensive 50. So she is a crucial member of the team. I just don't want to be burnt on pace, but do you think Neve Martin's done enough to keep her spot, or do we look at bringing Gavalis back in? Like, what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think Gavalis will come back in this week. Just a bit of experience against a better team. I didn't see enough from Martin to suggest she only had 2 touches for the game. I didn't see enough from her to suggest that she should get another week. Look, it was good to experiment against Port Adelaide. She didn't lack opportunities either. She had 66% time on ground, and it doesn't matter how quick you are if you don't get the ball as well. It's unfortunate. Yeah, we would have loved to have played, the Western Bulldogs this week, and then you probably give her another week. But going against Melbourne, I think you just got to go with the experience of Ali Gavalis, who's, might get 10, 11 touches and might kick a goal. She's been, she's been out of form. We talked about this last week, I think, with her form as well. But, bring her back in, and hopefully, it's just, a bit of a reality check for her maybe that, she's not invincible to getting dropped. So, yeah, hopefully it ignites something in her, and we might get something out of her.
Definitely. I think, yeah, her omission wasn't necessarily as much as you've been dropped because you're not doing the right thing. I think North sensed the opportunity to debut Neve and give her a run at it. And like we said, it's probably a bit of a more, with all due respect to Port Adelaide, a bit more of a risk. The risk was a lot lower when it came to that game. Whereas, yeah, you want your best. I mean, I'm kind of sweating on Bresnahan. I'd love Rose to come back. I don't know what her timeline is like because the club have uploaded some photos of her being on track. But I think when it comes to conditioning and match simulation and her knowing when her body is right, but I'd be pretty keen on having Brez in before finals. I think that would be a huge in. The depth of North Melbourne is the fact that we've missed her at times for sure, but I don't think it's really impacted because we've just had so much depth there, and I think Tess Craven's done a wonderful job. I think Eliza Shannon has played the role of Brooke Brown. So Brooke Brown obviously went to the old foe in Essendon, and I think Eliza Shannon has done a really great job in kind of fulfilling those boots and doing that. So, yeah, I think Gav gets back in, and I think, unfortunately, Neve Martin probably gets dropped. But great experience for her, and like you said, you never know when it comes to Western Bulldogs, to Adelaide and things like that. She might get another shot at it. But, Gav comes back in. And how are you feeling about Bresnahan? Do you think she'll be back before finals, or do you think they'll be risk-averse with her coming back in?
They're talking her up like she's ahead of the timeline. Which was originally 6 weeks, so we're at 3 weeks. Look, if she's right by the Adelaide game, then you probably take that risk, especially if you lose this week. If we win this week, then you probably, wait the extra week. If you win this week, then you could probably, I mean, not that you want to drop games, but you could probably, afford to maybe, go a little bit less risky and maybe drop a game and then get her for the Bulldogs, give her, a half against the Bulldogs, and then hopefully she's treated right for the first final. But, I don't know the inside information about, if she's going to be back in the next couple of weeks or anything like that. But hopefully she is back before finals. At least get, a half in because she is important to that back line. And,
She's got the pace as well. I feel like that we're overly lacking. It's just that, Ridey and Jazz Ferguson are more of your sit and prop and do your contested work on key forwards. Mm-hmm. And I think Bannon and Zanka are not only just tall and going to take quite a bit of body work, but in pace-wise, it's going to be... They've got the body of a tall, but with the leg speed of a small. So, it's times like this where you miss like a... And look, don't get me wrong, Emma Carney busted her gut from the half forward line all the way down to the back on the line of the goals to make sure that it was smothered on the line. So, look, we do have the running capacity there. It's just it's the speed in which Melbourne can hurt you with. So... Yeah, I'd love to see Brez back before finals. But, we're in a healthy position. It's a good list. We've been able to cover the injury of Bruton at the start of the season, and we've been able to minimise the impact of Bresnahan. So we're in a really good place, touch wood, obviously, because when you say those things, often it can go the other way. So, hopefully we can remain quite a healthy list going to Melbourne. I do think we can beat them. I said that in the prelim. I have said that multiple times now. I just think for North, it's such a mental game, and it'll be interesting to see how they come out, whether they're combative. Yeah, like you said, the intensity that they bring from the centre bounce. They've got a lot to play for here. There's a lot of pride on the line. I think they're the biggest... North Melbourne, when they play Melbourne, they're their own worst enemies, I think. They're their own... They build their own mental kind of barricade to themselves. So I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful, but I have to be honest, I'm very I guess because of being burnt so often in the past, I'm a bit hesitant to make any sort of predictions. What about you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, confident. I'm confident we can knock him off without being overly confident. I think O'Shea might go to Bannon, just a match on the ground with pace.
Yeah.
I think Sarah Wright might play on Kate Hoare. And, yeah, Jazz Ferguson go to Zanka. They're not bad matchups.
No,
yeah,
not at all. They're good.
And Tess and Emma Carney can give us drive from that back half, so I'm not too worried. If they get on the counter attack, they are quite good on the outside. But I think we're just as good. Pritchard is generally pretty good outside of probably the starter games where it seems to be. We seem to be in a bit of a slumber to start games. But look, I think if we start the game, reasonably well, and we're within striking distance, or maybe a goal down at half time, because we generally finish games off pretty well. I think we could overrun them, and I think last year that prelim sort of showed that. That third quarter, the first three quarters basically, we were the better team against Melbourne, and we just didn't take their opportunities. So I'm confident we can get over them, and I'm going to go for a 10-point win.
Yeah, I would say the same. I think Sheila definitely adds a bit in that forward line. I think it'll stretch Melbourne quite thinly in the back line there. So I'm hoping that they can really take advantage of the Randall or Sheila combo and King when she goes down there as well. I think I'd really like to see Tripodi, Bella Eddie, and Elise have a big game as small forwards. I think there's a lot to be gained. I think a lot of chat will be about the aerial contest and the big key forwards, but I think the smalls will have a lot to say. So hopefully they continue on with their form. I'm similar to you. I don't think it'll be a big win, but I'm like you said, probably anywhere between one or two goals. And it would be huge for the club. I think that's the, irrespective, it would be great to get over Adelaide. No doubt that would be wonderful. But I think the Everest that they need to really climb is the mental battle with the Deeds. And I think both clubs are in really great positions to have a good game. And I really hope North don't shy away from the contest if they're scored on quickly, because I know that they can kind of go back into their shells and revert and try and look for the uncontested players, whereas I think they're the most exciting and then they're most dynamic when they're ball carrying and linking up the chains and doing the handball kind of game. That to me, that transition seems, whilst a little bit more chaotic, it seems the most effective sometimes when they've played Ds in the past and they've gone to the uncontested, because Ds are all, a very skilled side as well and very fit. That works against your bottom eight or your middle tier clubs, but it just doesn't work against the D's. So I think it's about the confidence of the game plan. It's not shying away if you are scored on early and you're scored on quickly. I think it's backing your strategies and your game plan. And hopefully, it's a 1-2 goal win for North. But a lot to play out then. I think I'm just trying to look at the weather conditions for Saturday night at Icon. So... what's the temperature on Sunday? I'm just having a look now.
I'm not too sure. I haven't looked that far ahead. Saturday, 24, is it?
Okay.
Yeah, so, it says 24. Overcome. Right. So it might not be a bad night. By the time night comes, it might be about 18, which wouldn't be bad conditions, 16, 17, 18 degrees. I remember that prelim. Well, you were there last year. It was that wind was just absolutely horrendous.
Oh, it was awful. It was really awful. It was awful for everyone because I think the quality of the game definitely deteriorated as a direct result from that. It wasn't. They were obviously very two talented sides, but the conditions of the ground really didn't lean into having quite an exhibition of skills. So, it's going to be fascinating. I'm very keen to see how, because I think both teams have come off, Port Adelaide and West Coast, so they've come home from WA and, nearly have the same amount of break as we do, give or take the travel. But both teams have come off a fairly relatively soft opposition, and have got the same amount of wins on the board. I've got this like a fairly, you know, North have been pretty good with their percentage. They've been quite stingy in defence, like you said. So they're right for the picking, Melbourne. I really hope North don't become their own worst enemies when it comes to shying away from the contest, because this is probably the best preparation they have had as a club to have a real go at them and to make sure that they're able to kind of combine well. And yeah, I'm nervous already. I'm very nervous, and it's a long way away. I tell you what, if we ever get into grand final, I don't know how I'm gonna deal with the build up of a grand final, let alone a home and away match. But yeah, look, final prediction: North by 14 points at Icon Park, and I'll be one very happy woman, I reckon. You've got a big night that night. You've got a charity ball, and then you've got an engagement. So, how are you planning to watch the game?
I'll be just getting my phone in, I think. in front of people and stuff and so forth. I don't know any of these people that I'm going to the charity ball, so I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty social. I don't care. I'll talk to anyone, but. At the end of the day, look, I think I've got my priorities right, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I'll be sneaking in, try and watch as much as I can and checking the scores as often as I can. So hopefully, and I'll probably watch the replay on Sunday. And hopefully we can, get the 4 points. And one thing, I've got a message for Darren Crocker is that don't fuck around and start Ash Riddell on the bench again. as soon as she went on the ground, the energy and and everything shifted straight into it. Got a centre clearance. So start your best players on the ground against your premiership favourites, and we should be right, hopefully. But we'll see how we go. Oh, one thing I will mention: do you think we're like with Emma Carney in the backup? Do you think we're trying to find her too much for the overlap? I think you might have even mentioned that in a tweet on the weekend.
I think there's safety in Emma Carney. I think everyone, she's the general, she's the captain, everyone goes to her. And I think even in the first couple of minutes of the game that I was able to rewatch, because I was just walking to the ground, is that it was, I think she got tackled and it was a direct shot on goal. And we're just a bit too cute with her. I think we panic a bit. And instead of maybe looking for like the 25-meter kick, or you know, the idea is get the ball into Carney's hands and she'll find an exit. But I think teams have clued on to the fact that she's quite a valuable, you know, running carry source. And if they're able to pressure her and put some time in research, then they've been able to kind of, benefit from not tagging her, but isolating her and understanding how important she is. So it was good to see in the second half Craven, O'Shea and Shannon take a bit more responsibility and less emphasis on Carney getting the ball out. I think Carney did a lot of the kickouts anyway, like she was the one moving it. So that was smart by North to sort of put her in the goal square and let her use her ball skills there, as opposed to potentially being cut off in the half back. But yeah, I think with the absence of Roshanahan, because she's normally also a huge run and carry player for us out that transitioning forward. O'Shea and Craven and Shannon have to step up and have to do a bit of work around there. So I'll be fascinated to see how Melbourne potentially put a bit of time into Carney. Or if I were them, I'd be putting way more time into Erica O'Shea. I think she's lethal off her halfback. I think she does so much. She burns you for pace. And she's got good balls. Like, she's developed now, and she's not just hacking it forward like she used in the first season. She can be really damaging with her foot and her hands. So, not that I want to put any ideas into Mick Stanier's head, but I'd definitely be trying to capitalise and making sure that someone like Erica O'Shea is not doing too much damage. But I guess on the flip side of that, you know, our role, North Melbourne's role, is to put some time and effort, I think, into a Tyler Hanks. I know she's just got unbelievable war skills, either side of the body, actually. So, you know, I'm hesitant to do any sort of tagging considering how much depth we have in our midfield. But I definitely think that, there's something to be, I don't know, it'll be free-flowing and contested and hot and heavy. And I wonder whether Crocker will revert. Oh, I don't know. It's just, there's so many hypotheticals of the game. But you're right. To go back to what you said, there's no way Afridale, you know, 35 possessions, 2 goals, that many clearances, there's no way she starts on the bench. That's insane. But look, I'm really looking forward to the game. I think it's a really good opportunity for the girls to test themselves. They're in a really good position. They're full of confidence. They know what they need to achieve. They know that they're good enough. This is the most frustrating thing, is that everyone knows that North are good enough. It's just that they don't have the legitimate wins on the, I guess, in the win-loss common against those top 3 teams to suggest that they belong there. And I think hopefully on the weekend they can legitimise themselves as a genuine premiership favourite. So that's the hope. That's the goal. And, look, I'll be sweating every day leading up to it. We've got what? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, Tuesday. We've got a long time between the games. So hopefully I can occupy myself watching some nice Jazz Garner highlights or by watching all those goals of the year. Have you voted? I guess a nice way to end the podcast, Dean, would be the goal of the year. Who have you voted? Elise, Talia, or Afridale?
Oh, geez. Yeah, out of those three. They're all like Elise was a bit of a fluke. She didn't even look at the goals, but it was probably the best one. Yeah, it was the hardest one because she was under pressure and she just put on a boot and she got a nice bounce that bounced through. I mean, that's probably the hardest one, but you got to love Talia and, and just what she brings, you know, her energy, positive spirit, I guess, to the team. She's just a lovely girl. So you sort of, you go for hers. But, it depends how you want to look at it. I mean, Elise O'Loughlin was probably the best because, you know, it's the toughest.
It's fluky. It's a fluky shot. Yeah. It's definitely – Elise is definitely at the party tricks out of the bag one. I think Ash is just class, champagne class, and Talia Randall's just party tricks. She's just sort of – she's able to pull out some magnificent shots on goal, and I really liked her reaction towards it as well. She just kind of stands up and gets around herself as well. And why wouldn't you if you can kick goals like that? But – yeah, I think Hart says Ash because it was her 50th game and, you know, it was a pretty magnificent goal. But Hart says Ash, but Head says probably Randall, given, like, you know, the speed, the carry, the transition and the finish was just, it was party tricks. It's fun to watch. She's a very fun character to watch. She's very – I love that she's three-dimensional. She'll crash packs. She'll pull out tricks like that and then she'll go back and kick a set shot as well. So I think she's an incredible player. She's got a lot to offer. And she's just exciting to watch. You want to go down to Arden Street and watch tall forwards kind of dominate the game. And you know, her and Sheila, a great combo. And I guess it's a nice segue. I'll be honest with you, Dean. I haven't done too much research about this. But talking about the men's, just shifting gear a bit, did you see that we got that Biggie guy?
I don't know much about him, to be honest with you.
Neither do I. The only thing that I thought of was like, oh, my God, Nick Larkey might have someone to work with. I mean, ideally he gets Comden or, you know, someone to work with him next season, but maybe Biggie's going to be down there and it's going to be like a Talia Randall and, you know, Kate Shearlaw. Now we've got Nick Larkey and this Biggie guy working together in tandem. So, I haven't read much about him. I'm hesitant with Richmond trades because I think, with all due respect, the Callum Coleman Jones trade is left a lot to be desired. Yeah. I'm not sure we got the best of that deal, but he's hoping Nick Larkey has someone actually to work with him because we know when North players have a Talia Randall or a Kate Shearlaw or an Emma King in tandem with them, they can do some pretty powerful things.
Yeah, I was certainly hopeful we could see that on Saturday. A lot to play out. I think I'll keep busy over the next couple of days checking the trade because the trade period goes till then. And then, focus on the girls till Saturday, which will be very exciting. This is what you want to see. You want to follow a team that put themselves in contention for a premiership, and that's all you can ask at the end of the day. Claire, did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, look, you're right. It's nice to be in a club that is successfully vying for an opportunity at the top four and in finals. So, it's hard being a North Melbourne men's supporter, but it's an absolute gift being a North Melbourne women's supporter. So it'd be good to see people at the ground. Unfortunately, I can't make it and you can't make it. And we're pretty gutted about that. But if you're listening and you can make it, you definitely should go and support the Gales. And hopefully, like we said, it may be a two goal win prediction, I guess, from our podcast and our thoughts and views. And hopefully they don't shy away from the contest. Hopefully they really have a dip and give it a crack and we're able to kind of stand back on Saturday night in our respective places. You at the charity ball and me at the 30th and have a drink and toast to the flag ruse.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my celebrations on cue just in case I put my hand up a bit on something that, is worth about $10,000 or something like that. So, yeah.
That's probably a good call, yeah.
Yeah. We forgot to mention Jazz Garner's goal as well. That was pretty good considering we were talking about three other goals from the pocket, but we kind of just expected from her.
The thing. Like, she's pure class. You're just like, oh, yeah, of course it's Jazz and Garner. Of course, even as she set up the beautiful goal, was able to kind of find a chip kick in the forward 50. I forgot who she set up there, but it was just another. She's just so classy. She just oozes composure. You know, I think she's the Bontempelli meets Pendlebury meets Toby Green. She's just the full measure. And it was good to see her get 9 votes again. She's actually smashing the leaderboard for the AFLW award. So hopefully she'll be recognised because we know that we've had the GOAT on our books for a couple of seasons now, but it'd be good for her to get that recognition externally. That's the goal. That and a premiership with the Roos. That's the goal. That's the dream.
Yeah. I don't know who's more popular, her or her brother at the moment. So he seems to be getting pretty well. So.
I think I love that. I think it's so special. Yeah. And things like that just make me love the club just so much more. And you can hear his big voice barreling at Arden Street. And he's just a character. And, again, I couldn't love North anymore in terms of how great they are with family, friends, and how inclusive they are of the people that make up their club. And, it's a great story. And hopefully he gets to lift the Premiership Cup with his sister in a couple of weeks' time. That's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah, just over a month's time. That would be awesome. So, definitely. Well, Claire, I think I've held you up long enough. Thanks very much for coming on. Hopefully we're talking this time next week about a win.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, Dean. Thank you very much and have a great night.
You too.
So thank you very much to Claire Cozzi for coming on once again, and thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can leave a rating and review on your favourite podcast platform, that would be awesome. I'll be back probably just after the trade deadline period. It'll either be Wednesday or Thursday. I'll have some guests on. I'll probably do a couple of shows about it, to be honest with you. I don't know if I'll do 2 shows this week, but over the course of the next couple of weeks, I'll get a couple of shows on, and we'll talk a fair bit about that. So, looking forward to that. Yeah, like Claire said, we got a Bigoa Nguyen today for pick 65. So, I'm not too sure what he's like or if he's any good or whatsoever. He's only played 1 AFL game, but I'll back the club in with that, and I'll talk about that a bit more later in the week. Anyways, that's it for me. So tonight I will leave a shout out to Bigoa Nguyen, our newest recruit from the Richmond Football Club. Bye for now, and go Roos.